I'd like us to begin by standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we actually have two separate meetings that are going to commence tonight. We're going to begin with our reorganization meeting, which will take up just a few minutes. And we have a number of business functions that we need to process through. The first part of our meeting will be to take the oath of office for our new Board of Education trustees. That will be Trustee Kaplan and Trustee Hughes. And District Clerk, how are we doing this? Are we using a book over there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'd like, first off, to let's have Karen Hughes come forward. And Karen, what we'd like you to do is just to read at Karen Hughes, do solemnly swear.
I, Karen Hughes, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of trustee according to the best of my ability.
And congratulations to you. Welcome on board, so to speak. Next, I'd like to call up Trustee Kaplan. Dan, your sentence is right.
I, Dan Kaplan, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of trustee. And I sign right here.
You're going to sign right there. Thank you very much. Congratulations to you. Okay, next I would like to accept any nominations from the floor for the position of Board of Education President. Are there any nominations?
Dr. Montesano, I'm pleased and proud to nominate Karen Hughes to serve as President, hopefully for one more, at least one more year.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Marshall, any other nominations from the floor? This is called wait time in education. Just,
I'm thinking.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Congratulations, President Hughes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We shall now, do we have to take her oath for that next?
We do.
Okay. Come on back up.
Try a different accent this time.
Okay, different accent. I, Karen Hughes, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of President according to the best of my ability.
And once again, we'll need your signature. Congratulations. And Karen, the meeting is now yours, and we'll move forward with the agenda.
Great. Thank you very much, Dr. Montesano. If I could please get a nomination from the floor for the our Vice President of the Board.
That was you.
I nominate Dan Kaplan.
Thank you, Dan. Motion?
Second.
Second. That's a motion. Second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion carries. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You are a new Vice President.
Thank you.
And Karen, if you can move Dan over to the book.
While Dan moves to the book, I'd just like to say that I appreciate the board's allowing me to serve as Vice President in the previous year, and it was a pleasure to collaborate with our President Hughes, and I'm looking forward to more active participation, and welcome Dan as Vice President.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay, Okay, Mr. Kaplan, if you could kindly read this section right here to take the oath of office.
I, Daniel Kaplan, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of Board of Education Vice President, according to the best of my ability.
Should have bought your roller skates.
Okay, really. Roller skates.
Just kidding.
Okay. Do I have a nomination on the floor for Secretary of the Board?
I would like to nominate Jen Maraschino.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Jen Maraschino is our new Secretary of the Board.
Thank you. Thank you.
Jen Maraschino, if you could just read the oath of office here.
I, Jen Maraschino, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of Board Secretary, according to the best of my ability.
You could sign here, please. Okay, we now have the oath of office for the superintendent. Okay.
Oh,
I, James Montesano, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of superintendent of schools according to the best of my ability.
We have the oath of office for the district clerk.
I, Linda DiCicco, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of district clerk according to the best of my ability.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Is Gloria here?
Yeah.
Yes, she is. Oh, thank you, Gloria. Sorry. If you could come and take the oath. Thank you.
I, Gloria Menudis, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of district treasurer according to the best of my ability.
Thank you, Gloria. Is here? Okay, so we can take the motion. Motion to appoint Beth Phillips as Deputy District Treasurer.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And I guess we'll execute the oath of office. Okay, wonderful. Okay, good, thank you. Okay, moving on to district appointments. Do I have a motion to approve district appointments 3.1 to 3.4? Legal counsel, external auditor, internal auditor, and internal claims auditor.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Can we have a nomination from the floor for our representative to the Rockland County School Boards Association Exec Committee? That'd be it.
I would like to nominate Trustee Irvin.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Congratulations, Leah. Thank you for stepping up.
You have a motion on the floor to a nomination for our alternate representative to Rockland County School Boards.
Yeah, I nominate Jan Marashino.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Jan Marashino, thank you very much for stepping up to be our alternate. Do we have a nomination on the floor for our representative to the NIAC Teacher Center Policy Board?
I nominate Michael Mark.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Can I get a nomination on the floor for our student representative to the Board of Education?
Hunter is here with us tonight. Hunter, would you just give us your last name so I don't mispronounce it?
Androsco.
Androsco. I would have gotten that correct. Hunter comes with wonderful recommendations from Ms. Saiva at NIAC High School, and I'm sure they'll serve us all very well.
Okay, wonderful. Do we have a motion to accept Hunter Androsco?
So
moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Welcome, Hunter.
Take a seat at the table.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve items 3.9 to 3.12, Committee on Special Education, Committee on Preschool Special Education, Impartial Hearing Officers, and 504 Coordinator?
Motion.
Second.
Oh, sorry, do we have a second?
Second.
Oh, we have a motion. There's a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. I'm not going to read all of these. Designations. Do we have a motion to approve items 4.1 through 4.11?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Authorizations. Do we have a motion to approve items 5.1 through 5.8?
Motion.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Policies. Do we have a motion to accept item 6.1, continuation of district policies?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Organizations. Do we have a motion to accept the recognition of organizations, item 7.1?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Opposed? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Almost there, folks. Public relations announcements. Do we have a motion to accept item 8.1, public relations announcements?
Motion.
Second.
And President Hughes, there was a question earlier. This is the listing of publications where we advertise whatever listings, but it just basically lists the various, journal news, etc., that we'll post up.
Understood. Got it. Thank you. Motion carries. Do we have a motion to adjourn the reorganization portion of this meeting? Sorry?
Did we vote on it, she said?
Did we vote? Yeah, I thought we said.
Did we?
Oh, you have to approve it. I don't know.
We did. Let's do it again. So we have the motion. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Leanne. Do we have a motion to adjourn the reorganization portion of this meeting?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned. Okay. All right, so we'll call to order for our regular agenda. I guess we don't need the Pledge of Allegiance again,
no,
do we?
No.
Oh, good. Okay. Do you have a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. President's report. First off, I would just like to thank members of the Board of Education for their continued support and trust in my ability to lead this board. I am honored and humbled by the support that I've gotten, and I will hope to do my best to continue to lead this board as well as I can for the next year, so thank you very much. It's wonderful to see so many people here for a reorganization meeting. This is my third or fourth, and I've never seen so many people, so this is exciting. Welcome, everyone. I hope everyone's had a great summer so far. We're excited here. We've got some great appointments that we're going to be talking to tonight, and we really are excited about where this district's going and everyone that we're bringing on board, and of course all the folks we have here already. It's an exciting district as far as I'm concerned, and it's only going to get better as far as I can see. So with that, we'll move to the superintendent's report. Would you like to do the announcement appointments now?
Two things, quickly. I was wondering if you would like to distribute. You have a few board members to be recognized for their merits of professional development.
Yes, I've forgotten that. Thank you, Dr. Montesano. So we school board members. There's a New York State School Boards Association that all of these all school board members here, at least, are a member of, and they have a school board university. And as members attend events, attend classes, seminars, courses, they get credit for that. A bit overwhelmed there, are we? As it happens, we have a number to recognize, and the first one goes to Leanne Irvin, New York School Board Member, for participation in the NISBA Leadership Development Opportunities, totaling 250 points, which is a Level 3 Board Mastery Award. And our other board member is not here, but also getting a Board of Excellence Award is Trustee Dan Jukta for Leadership Development Opportunities for 150 points, which is Board Excellence Award. And to Mrs. Jennifer Maraschino for Development Training, totaling 75 points, which is the Board Achievement Award.
I have in my hands a certificate awarded to Karen Hughes, NIAC School Board, for participation in New York School Boards Association Leadership Development Opportunities, totaling 150 points. Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you, Dr. Mintz.
I would ask the board at this time just to maybe move out of order with our agenda. We have two very special appointments that are going to be made, and I know we have their families here with us, and I don't want to take them away too much from their family activities. And those will be items 6.5, 6.6, 6.7, and 6.12.
Okay, we could do that. Is that good for everyone? Okay, so moving to action personnel. Do I have a motion to accept items 6.5 and 6.6 and 6.7? First off, the resignation of Lucretia Adams from current roles and her appointment as assistant principal at NIAC's Middle School.
Motion.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Sorry, Lucretia, I'm going to have you say that again with the mic.
So wonderful.
Thank you so very much for this opportunity. I look forward to working with you, the students and the staff and the NIAC community to help move NIAC Middle School forward. It's going to be an exciting year. Thank you very much.
Does anyone wish to make any comments?
Just, we're so happy, so congratulations. That's my comment.
It's a wonderful moment, Lucretia. It's so wonderful when we can promote from within. You know, and we're really excited about the opportunity. You know, other promotions we've made, we've done the same thing. And it's an exciting time, as I said. And so congratulations and the best of luck on the board. On that note, do we?
Karen, what, I mean.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I just wanted to say it was quite funny in that process because the community was all over us. What are you doing with Lucretia? You pointing Lucretia? So you have a very large amount of community support as well as the boards. So good luck to you, and thank you for accepting that appointment.
Lucretia, do you want to introduce your beautiful family?
Yes.
Board, if you could, so we could recognize the Morses. If you could take them out.
This is my husband, Henry Harris, my daughter, Imani, and my oldest daughter, Jay. If I may, I'd also like to recognize my fellow colleagues and staff members from Nyack Middle School who I truly appreciate for coming out and supporting us.
Wow.
All.
Yes, I know them all. They're very supportive. I know them very well. They're a great bunch. All right. Thank you for coming out to support her. If we could move forward, there's one other appointment that we're also excited about. And so, yeah, got it here. No. So, do we have a motion to accept item 6.12, the appointment of David Johnson to principal of the middle school?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Before you take a vote, I just want to take a moment.
Wait a second.
I don't have new information about this. I just wanted to inform, which I know the board is well aware, but the community itself, we have gone through a very extensive process in finding Mr. David Johnson. We have received well over 150 applications for this position. I can share with you that we had applicants with sitting principals or vice principals from virtually every district in Rockland County and across the river as well. They went through, I think you would agree, a pretty extensive process. There was over 30 members on various committees of parents, staff members, administrators prior to getting to the board level. And as I mentioned, we had a lot of outstanding applicants and we met a lot of great outstanding educators in the process. This gentleman, of all the people that came through, resonated with parents, with staff members, with administrators, with obviously board members who were in the process of making this decision. I always gauge whether or not we have a real find in terms of the person. I've been doing this a long time. I've hired a number of principals in my career. And I can always gauge by the reaction I get from the superintendent that's losing a member of their staff. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I smile. but in Ileana Eckert, the superintendent of North Rockland's case, where David has been an outstanding assistant principal at North Rockland High School, I can tell you there were tears. She really has thinks so highly of Dave, and I know we are very, very fortunate to have him come on board. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you very much. Any comments from the board before we have? I guess we'll take the second motion.
Nice.
Oh, all in favor. Sorry.
We haven't approved them yet. You said you want comments.
No, but I thought about it. We haven't approved them. Somebody may say no. And you can't say nice if they've said no. So we took the motion. I think we took the second. We took the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Welcome.
Good evening, members of the board, Dr. Montesano, Dr. Gregory. It truly is an honor to join such a great school district. I'm truly excited to get started. What great jobs we have. I say it all the time. We help students' dreams come true. What's better than that? I have a great staff I know behind me. I've met many of them. The names are a bit tricky, but I'll get them eventually. to be a member of this community, to be able to give back to this community, to help students achieve, to become better students and better citizens, what's better than that? I truly can't wait to get started. I've been started already, but can't wait to truly get started with this official appointment. Thank you so much for having faith in my leadership ability.
Dave, could you introduce your family while we're here?
I can't forget that. It'll be a rough night in Johnson household.
You may be resigning in the morning.
Like, I can make it up right now. I'll start with the youngest, Jada. Stand up, Jada Johnson. My oldest, Gianni Johnson, will be a sixth grade student at Nyack Middle School this year. And a President Obama Scholarship Award winner. I'm going to toot my own horn about that. And my lovely, beautiful wife, Michaela Johnson, who has been my backbone, who, kind of being personal a little bit, she started when I had nothing at all besides a little apartment in the city. And she saw some potential and stuck with me. So for that, I thank you.
board comments. Now you may comment.
I just wanted to thank you and welcome you and thank you on the board's behalf that we won't have to make another middle school appointment for the next 30 years.
Any other comments?
So, okay, Christina is up there, my daughter, and she tells me everything that goes on in that school. So you know I got the inside track. She's very excited. I'm very excited. I'm really looking forward to how the middle school is going to work out this next couple of years. Yeah, great. Congratulations.
Yeah, sure. Just congratulations. And one of the things that came across in your interview, which your wife will appreciate, is that how much you do have support in your family. And that was really impressive when we sat down with you, and that you are what our community and our parents really wanted. So congratulations. Welcome to Manhattan.
Just congratulations. I've got a sixth grader coming in, so great feedback from the community. I'm really excited for everybody to meet all the people that haven't met you, to meet you and see your great personality and everything you're going to do.
There will be a meet and greet upcoming.
That's right.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that.
Spread the word.
Well, congratulations, Dave. And the pressure continues. I've got a seventh grader.
Yeah.
We're watching you. We're watching you. But we also do have a lot of faith in you and belief, obviously, and we're here to support you. And we look forward to, as Michael said, many, many years, hopefully, together. So thank you.
Karen?
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Kaplan.
That's okay.
Mr. Vice President?
My kids are past junior high school, middle school. Middle, I guess it's still called, it's not called junior high school anymore. That ages me. But anyway, my kids are past middle school, but it's very exciting to have you here, so welcome and congratulations. Okay. Both of you.
Thank you. Okay.
Before we get to superintendent's reports, this may be a good time for our newest appointees, as well as the fan club in the back. If you want to get on with your summer evening, this is a good time to do that.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Little break. Was this when you went to the final conference you went to? I never know what I get it for. I don't know. That's what the last time I was wondering what I got it for, because that's all I did. But you also went to the conference this year. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm sure that's it. Good night.
Okay, really, just two quick items. One is just to let the board know that obviously you're aware that the construction projects have begun. We're active basically in all of our schools, less Liberty, where all of our summer programs are off the ground and everything seems to be running smoothly there. Construction schedules up to this point is on schedule. We could use a very dry summer just in terms of getting the fields worked out and hopefully completed probably by mid-September is really where our goal. You probably saw the upper field. They just started to take off some of the topsoil, which they're going to be using for the softball field down below, which will be a very good cost-saving way for us not to have to find new topsoil for that field. The second thing I wanted to mention to you, I just received an email this morning from Mayor White requesting for the board to work with, there's a new project that's taking place called the Nyack Point Apartments, and asking us for a letter indicating that their project will not have a direct impact on the school district's enrollment. You're probably aware we received an impact study already from the NIAC Havion project, and that report indicated to us that we could potentially receive anywhere from 18 to 30 school-aged children as a result of that. I believe there's another project that's scheduled to commence on the water, called the waterfront down below, which may or may not, we haven't got any impact study with regard to that. I have not received any impact study from this other than some informal information from this email from the Rockland Housing Action Coalition. This NIAC Point Apartments will be 33 units. 9 of them will be studio apartments, 12 of them will be one-bedroom apartments, and 12 will be two-bedroom apartments. They're projecting, and there's a formula they use when you have two-bedroom apartments about how many children, you know, could potentially come out of that. They're projecting basically about 18 to 20 kids that potentially could arrive as a result of this new building project. I would like to see, before we send anything formal back to them, some kind of an impact study, you know, something a little bit more formalized than simply an email. But I do want you to be aware, because these collectively, along with the demographic study we just completed, you know, we're going to be tight in terms of our space utilization, which is why we're having Westminster Suffolk BOCES come back this next school year to take a strong look at all of our, basically, room utilization, to look at all of your space, ensuring we're maximizing our availability of space. So I just wanted to get you up to date on those mm-hmm. issues.
Dr. Montesano, where is the development?
And I believe, I'm not quite certain, but I think it's right off of Depew, down in that area of town.
I think so. Right near that little park. Isn't that the one right near the
where they have the vegetable garden?
Yeah, a little south of there where the playground is.
The Pavion one is where...
No, that's the one by the Pavion.
Yeah, no, I think it's right now.
Depew and Franklin?
Yeah.
But there's also another development between the Claremont and the Night Boat Club.
That's what he's talking about. That's what Ben White
was talking
about. Okay.
There's that whole space that was just remediated for toxics?
No, that's not that one. That's one called TZ Vista, which is getting a lot of
press.
But this one, I think this is a different one.
Because
I was just wondering which school, which elementary school would be most impacted. But yeah. If they're young kids.
Yeah, it'd probably be Liberty. We'd have to look at our existing attendance zones.
Sorry, Leonora.
For the Pavion development, is that also Liberty? Would that be?
Not sure.
That's on the other side of Franklin, so it's Upper Nyack, because it's right down where my kids were.
We
have some strange demographic lines. You know,
but usually east of Franklin in most places is Upper Nyack.
I think so too for Pavion.
In South Nyack, in general.
But my main point to you is that we really have to keep a keen eye on this, because it really has potential that we have to be cognizant of the space around in the buildings.
But it's not just that. There is this other development on the toxic land, or what was toxic, which they haven't, I don't think, is spoken about here. I know there's something at the village town hall meeting this week about it, because it's going to be a massive development down there. And it seems more high-end, but that doesn't mean they don't have kids who'll be here. So you should probably garner as much information if we're going to be looking at an impact study, because that presumably has something to
do. I just want to give you an awareness.
Just one thing that was really nice, I went to a fundraiser for somebody running for office, and Jen White brought the maps of all the proposed developments. So I don't know if that's something we want to do and have as a president.
I've seen them online. Yeah, I went online.
Or maybe we can just see them online. I don't know. It gets confusing because there's a bunch of different ones.
Yeah, there are. So, there's about 3 of them. Yeah, no, you're right.
Anyway, just an idea.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
And that's my report.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Montesano. Our student representative of report, Mr. Andraska.
Well,
Hang on, you need a mic.
I'm just very excited to be here. I've been a member of the student council for the past 3 years, and I'm excited to be serving as the student body president and rep for the next school year, and I look forward to working with all of you.
Thank you.
Likewise.
Okay, Board of Education reports. Just for the podcast, I just want it known that Trustee Marshall had to leave, and we actually don't have Trustee Jukta with us this evening, so our remaining trustees will give their reports. We'll start with Vice President Kaplan.
Thank you, President Hughes. That's kind of a weird, that's weird to hear. but I guess I'll get used to it. So the most I want to say is just this is a time of amazing change, which is exciting. I mean, it's a new role for me, new student representative, two new principals, a new assistant principal, construction everywhere. I mean, the district's going through a lot, and it's exciting. And obviously, change can be a little, not scary, but I mean, you know, it creates anxiety in some places. You don't know how everything's going to turn out. But mostly, I think it's just very exciting. So it's just nice to be part of that change. And in terms of personally, I look forward to being more, I don't know that my role will change that dramatically, but just sort of more of a leadership role and helping you out and being in agenda meetings with the superintendent. So I'm looking forward to just being more active than I've been, even more active than I've been. So I'm looking forward to a great year. And that's my report.
Thank you very much, Trustee Mark.
President Hughes. Nothing to report, just looking forward to another busy year. Just wanted to add my welcome to Hunter to the table. You follow a long line of unabashedly outspoken student representatives. Don't be afraid to tell us what's going on, because the perspective that you bring is important, and it means something to everybody in the district, and it means something to how the board operates. So get your input from the students and let us know what's going on. I have no doubt you will make your feelings and the student body's feelings known, and we're happy that you're here.
Thank you, Trustee Mark.
Trustee
Maraschino.
Yeah, welcome, Hunter. You're following in Nick's footsteps, who you probably know Nick pretty well, you know. And he gave us a lot of information this past year, which I really liked. So, well, you're welcome. We're glad to have you here. I was just going to comment on a legislative thing that I've been getting a lot of emails about, so I just thought I'd share it, because I think this sounds exciting if it's something that passes. But so apparently the U.S. Senate is debating a new federal education law to replace No Child Left Behind. And Senator John Tester has introduced an amendment to reduce federally mandated standardized testing from every kid every year to once in each elementary, middle, and high school. And the email that I received said, however, the Senate leadership may not even allow members to vote on this essential amendment, and was just encouraging people to contact their senators today, because I guess this is going to be something that's voted upon this week. Urge them to tell Education Committee Chair Senator Alexander to bring Tester's amendment up for a vote. And to me, as an education advocate, it's just something that I haven't read the amendment thoroughly, but from what I'm reading, it sounds great to sort of, you know, I think a lot of the mandates on testing really stem from our federal mandates, you know, and sometimes there's some issues within New York State that we work and advocate for, but, you know, a piece of it is what's coming from the federal government and sort of binds the hands of the state sometimes. So this just sounded like something exciting to me.
Did you say this was a federal mandate?
It's a federal, yes. This is in Washington, D.C., federally, because, you know, right now the mandates for the every year testing in eighth grade are really on the federal mandate. So if any of that's going to change, it does need to come from the federal level. I have no idea if there's really any possibility of this going through or not, but it sounded good, so I wanted to share it. And then I just had a question. I think this is a good time for me to ask my question about Dr. Montesano, just about how, you know, there's also, I guess, the regions finally sort of put in their final approval / recommendations on the APPR, the Annual Professional Performance Review changes. And I'm just curious how that affects our school districts in any way.
Significantly.
Okay.
On a couple fronts. There are some areas that have to be negotiated to accommodate some of the changes, because part of the law is that they have to be negotiated through your collective bargaining unit, the NTA. Probably the biggest change of this, you know, you're probably aware from last year, the governor's opinion of the APPR was that there were far too many teachers that were receiving highly effective or effective ratings, given the fact that we used test scores as a measure. It didn't coincide, you know, with the outcomes in terms of student achievements. Not that everybody necessarily agreed with that position, but that was a strong position. And, you know, there was a lot of strong arming you know, in Albany. You know, this is a governor that wants what he wants, and that was really a large part of some of the changes in his framework. Probably the most significant part of this change is there's now a newly devised matrix that will be proportionately based upon the required observation instruments, which in our case is the Danielson model, the evaluation instrument, together with either the state testing and or SLOs and you know, in-district outcomes of students. And basically what the matrix will ensure that if a teacher's group of students have been less than successful on data outcomes, student outcomes, let's say developing or ineffective, it makes it very difficult for them, even if they get the highest ratings from the observer, to be able to get more than like a developing kind of a rating. And the teeth of this is that a teacher that is, and that has an impact both with probationary as well as tenured teachers, that receive ineffective developing over consecutive years, I'll have to look at exactly the number of years, but the two consecutive years, the board is in a position to have an option to terminate, and then there's a requirement after, I believe, 3 years or something like that in terms of how that works. So it's a much more, I don't want to say invasive, but it's a much more structured format that really takes a lot of the discretion away from the local districts in terms of outcomes, because it has to fit into this model. There is more emphasis on the testing itself in terms of how what that will do. And you know, it's going to be interesting how it plays out, because it doesn't appear, I don't think, by the way, that we're going to see any changes, certainly with this current administration at the president level. Monty Duncan, who was his hand selected out of Chicago, where Obama was, you know, came from, they're the authors of Race to the Top and APPR and all the things that came with that. So first, I don't think this will ever come out of the Senate. I do think you're going to see over several years, this has to play itself out. I think we're going to start to see that pendulum start to swing back. You hear Vice President Kaplan talk often about different forms of outcome measures other than standardized, you know, bubble tests, you know, problem-based learning portfolios. You know, we're starting to see more remnants of that, and these types of things, I think, are some of the outgrowth. I personally think we're a few years away before we see that. And basically what we can do, maybe one of these board meetings, we can give you an overview for the board and for the public what some of these changes are about.
Okay.
But it's significant.
I did read this week that New York State is switching testing companies. Pearson will no longer be creating the standardized tests for, right? We'll see. There's been a lot of controversy about Pearson and the tests. So, all right, yeah, it would be good. I'm just,
and
I guess.
Commissioner, which she seems to have an educational focus. She claims that she's not a politician, and is an educator, so that's, you know, kind of refreshing to hear that. So.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Man Irvin.
I just have a very short report. Nothing wrong like that. I'm just really looking forward to all the new positions, all the new people that are working in the district. Winsome said you had a bunch of people there today that were new trainees and coming in, and it's going to be very exciting to see how this takes out this next year, and I'm looking forward to it. And that's my report.
Thanks very much, Leah. Dr. Montesano, any response to Prize Citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns?
There are none.
Okay, we have a list at this point in time. We invite the community to and citizens to address concerns, any proposals, questions, or concerns. And this evening we have two members of our community, David Saatchi.
Good evening, everyone. You may remember myself and my wife from the last meeting. Just want to say very quickly, two excellent choices there. You got it right, no doubt about it. We had an opportunity to speak both with Principal Johnson and Vice Principal Addison, two terrific people.
Good.
Did a great job there. Now that we've had an opportunity to have our son Christopher, who has dyslexia, back in the school system and completed a year. Just wanted to touch on a few things.
hopefully maybe at some point get with one somehow, some way, with a group of you, that sort of thing, to just further some of the things that we've been trying to impart on the board and the special education department, that sort of thing. Just very briefly, a couple of things that I also mentioned in the last time, but just want to reiterate. Early intervention, we definitely need that here. We were successful in getting it approved in New Jersey. It's definitely something that needs to be done here in New York. We can't have children with dyslexia getting into third, fourth, fifth, and even later grades. It's an issue. So we definitely need to put something in place and look at that more closely. Having said that, we have special education teachers in the classroom, as you're aware, and then the kids with the IEPs are pulled for reading and what have you. And I wanted to pose this concept to you. Imagine having special education teachers along with, for example, let's say the reading teachers, all having the same kind of, not necessarily background, but training in, let's say, for example, an Orton-Gillingham-based program, or Wilson, for example. And just imagine the symmetry that we could have between those special education teachers that are in the classroom, along with the teachers that are outside doing these small group sessions or individual sessions, whatever the case may be. Because now these kids have an opportunity to take what they're learning from the reading teachers and so forth, and incorporating it in their regular curriculum in the classroom, because the special education teacher now that is in there with them knows what's going on. They're on the same wavelength. So again, just imagine the kind of communication and progress that we could have if something like that were in place. Right now, special education, and again, lovely people, hardworking, very caring of the kids, but I don't think that their purpose or their position is being utilized to its fullest right now, only because you have the special education kids in the classroom. So yes, are they helping with reading paragraphs and helping them along, that sort of thing? Absolutely, no doubt about it. But that symmetry between these teachers, I believe, isn't there, based on our experience so far. Which then leads me to goals. When you sit down and talk about goals and you're discussing these IEPs, it's great to put in a goal that says, well, we're going to have your child reading 10 words per minute in September, and they're projecting outward that we're going to do this for December. But if the child isn't being taught how to decode and so forth and do all these things, that goal doesn't mean anything. So there's a lot of groundwork that needs to be done in terms of truly identifying a goal that will help the child read. Because again, if they can't read, we're going nowhere. Read 180, that's currently in place. Again, having this past year the experience with it, we just don't feel that it's a structured program. It's not giving the kids enough to identify, decode, and so forth. And they really do need a much more structured program as an Orton-Gillingham-based program.
And just a clarification, when you say kids, you're talking about your child or you're talking about all of our kids? Because I'm just curious what data you're working from. Because
well,
that's, you know,
the data I'm working from is our son personally.
Well, that's different than what you're representing.
Okay.
I'm just trying to understand what you're telling us.
But, and I'm using him as an example, of course, but would it be helpful for all the children? Absolutely. No doubt about it. Today, I actually had an opportunity to meet with a group of parents that have children that are dyslexic. And it's kind of funny because you speak to each of them and their story is all the same. How the kids are struggling. They're upset. They don't want to go to school. They don't want to read. They don't want to do this. They don't want to do that. And it's unfortunate that we have that in our community, because this community offers a lot. And for all that is offered and given here, I think that a lot more attention needs to be paid to this issue. It was kind of interesting. Our older son graduated eighth grade and former principal made a comment. He was referencing a basketball coach, I believe, in his speech. And he had mentioned how the coach said that he doesn't have his kids, I believe, learn how to play versus him teaching them how to, he doesn't teach them plays. He teaches them how to play better, that kind of thing. And a very, very simple process procedure. We need to help these kids along. We need to help them read. And I do believe that by having these groups come together, more interaction, a more structured program in terms of how they learn, decode, and so forth, we can get to it. It's very simple, so to speak.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Sargent. Dr. Montesano?
Yeah, I just want to respond to a couple issues, because there's a lot of points that professionally and personally, I agree with. And I'm not sure if you've had any recent communications with Dr. Giordanello. But the one point you're making with regard to providing training for staff in our reading specialists or reading teachers, along with special education teachers, having them similarity for trainings to deal with various types of issues. And you should be aware, which I'm sure you are, that not every program is going to be prescriptive to every child. And that's really what we're trying to get to as a school district. Because with regard to Reading 180, it's a very well-researched, empirically-based program that has had tremendous levels of success for large groups of students in this school district. And I can share the data with you to demonstrate that. Simultaneously, you made an earlier point the last time you were here at the meeting with regard to Wilson training, and in fact, you provided us with a brochure with a free program, kind of an awareness
session. Right.
But I do want to make you aware, as well as the Board of Education, that we do have plans, and a lot of these things you should be aware as well, is that when you come to us in the middle of March, we can't just simply pop up. We have budgetary concerns where we just can't just take cohorts of teachers and start training them.
Of course.
But part of our plan and budget for this coming school year does in fact incorporate to increase our Wilson training to both reading regular ed teachers in the district, as well as additionally to try to expand it with regard to getting higher levels of training for some of our special education teachers. Also, Linda Boud methodology, which is another offshoot that has been demonstrated to be successful dyslexia children in some cohorts as well. So I want you to be aware, and just this afternoon, Dr. Giordanello shared with me, I thought she might have sent you an email about this, but that program that you had provided, those brochures, we are in the process of trying to make arrangements to have it coincide with one of our, they call Superintendent Conference Day, Professional Development Days for the district. One of the issues, because I did talk to Mr. McCore and Mr. Brentnall with your previous comments to the board, one of the issues they had with the middle school staff last year was we simply couldn't take cohorts of teachers out of class with substitutes, and they did not get a favorable response from teachers. They have contract obligations. They're just simply not going to be willing to stay at 6 o'clock at night, for that particular workshop. Mm-hmm. But incorporating in our professional workshop day, which we're in the process of setting up, should expose a number of our teachers for that. I just want to thank both of you for continuing to try to raise the awareness, with some of the issues that you have concerns about.
Well, thank you. We will. We'll continue to be passed to a certain level. That's great. And we do understand that, yes, you can't just turn on a dime and incorporate something within a week or two or what have you. We understand that there is a schedule to abide by, that sort of thing. And Mrs. G did actually send an email today where she mentioned that November 3rd might be a possible
that's date. The date we're looking at, right?
That sort of thing, which is great. But I would like to ask that if you do have plans to have the teachers go for Wilson training, if that's something that maybe can be put on the website, is that at all possible, or can that be put out there just so parents are aware that sort of thing is happening? I think that would be very helpful.
It's possible. I'll share with you that this Board of Education is extraordinarily supportive of professional development. You can see tonight, they take their learnings themselves. And it is really, in my mind, one of the bedrocks of this district that we look at ourselves as a learning institution, that learning is just not restricted to little people, it's really for all of us. And we had probably about 50 some odd teachers almost 70 here just today with regard to professional training, teachers giving up their summer time to be with us to increase their professional knowledge. So my point is we have a host of different workshops, and I do know that this particular workshop may be of interest to you, and maybe we should be doing more of that in terms of letting our parents know the various types of things that our staff is involved in. We'll take a look at that, but I can certainly forward to you some of the dates of the workshops in terms of the timing of how they're going to be structured.
Yeah, that would be great. I think that would be very helpful from our standpoint, the parents, to know that, and not that it necessarily is, but that certain things aren't falling on deaf ears and that there are.
But no, I just want to be clear. We're in agreement with you that having cohorts of our teachers align, whether so that it's not categorical by whether you're special ed or what role you may have. It's something that we are really looking at. So
great. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Sashi. Lorraine and Tyler Peterson. Could you state your name?
Tyler. My name is Tyler Peterson. I'm a Boy Scout in Troop 2, and I came here working on my communications merit badge. I need merit badges to get towards Eagle. So, yeah.
Excellent.
Okay. Excellent.
One of Tyler's requirements was that I'm Lorraine Peterson. Hi, I'm a teaching assistant at Liberty Elementary. And one of his requirements was to go to a community board meeting of some sort, so we can go to a town board meeting. But I said, hey, why don't we come tonight? And his principal, Ms. Addison Harris, is being recognized tonight. So we'll come and support, and then he can learn a little bit more about the school board. So thank you for having us.
Good choice.
Okay, good choice. Hold on, Tyler. Wonderful. Any other citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns at this time? Any citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns on our workshop item tonight? Okay, we'll let you discuss it, and then if anybody has any questions afterwards, we'll open that up. For the time being, Dr. Montesano.
Yes, I'm going to introduce to you a very familiar face of the Board of Education, Mr. Raymond Purser, who is going to give you a preliminary overview of your audit process.
Thank you. Good evening.
Hi, Raymond.
Once a year I come in the spring, spring or summer right now, and
like
once I
Robins.
Come in the fall.
Huh? I was going to say like the Robins.
That's right. Just to let you know, we've already started. We completed the preliminary part of your audit, and basically what the preliminary part is non-financial. We do a risk assessment. What that means is we take your procedures, your internal controls, to see if they safeguard the financial, your financial numbers. During our process, we have noted you have very strong internal controls and your financial processes are very well kept. Colleen and her staff is excellent in that front with the financial numbers. Just to let you know, there's two phases of your audit. One is what we call preliminary. It has nothing to do with your numbers. It has to do with compliance. One of the things we do is we just finish the compliance dealing with your federal programs. Because you get more than $500,000 in federal aid, you have what they call a single audit, which if you read, you get a separate report at the end of the year. And there's very key things that a school district has to do in order to get funded for them. We, number one, make sure that you file all your reports on time. We also looked at there are specific requirements as to one thing you're talking about staffing, is that people who work under the federal programs have to be, there's a certification showing that they actually do work for your federal programs. And anybody who has can come in and look at 611, 619s, Title I's, they're going to ask you right away, can you show me documentation that these teachers are actually being signed off and approved to be federal single audit teachers for you? You meet that requirement. We were here about a week ago, July 8th, we were here and we did that part. It also falls in your school lunch program, falls in the same place too. We also look at to make sure they follow the same, there's different rules within the single audit process. On your other side, what we also do is now we look at your financial side. We look into your IT. We look in what we call permissions. We look to see who actually can get into a program, who can look into a program, who can touch a program. somebody who has no access in a program to do their job better not have access to get into the program. They can look-see, and that's all they can do. Okay? We can test that. We ask them to run reports for us to see who goes in and out. Okay? These are all things that we actually do before we actually start looking at your numbers in August. The other thing that we also are doing is we tested your payroll. We take the contracts to make sure that people are getting paid what they're supposed to be doing. We look at the superintendent's contract to make sure he's getting paid what he's supposed to be getting paid.
Thank you.
Okay. Nope, we didn't see no difference here.
Not a problem.
And then we go through the whole process of making sure that the payroll department is doing what they're supposed to be doing. We do the same thing for your expenditure side. We randomly check bills. They have no idea what bills we're going to select. We come to make sure there's what we call a packet that matches every expenditure that you make. And we noted no problems on anything that we tested. The other thing that we do is we also did we also tested your real estate taxes. Okay, one thing each year we have to do is go through a process, starting with the warrant, right through the collection, right through the final tax report. We've done that already. There was no errors and problems in that section. So, and then finally, what we just did not too recently is that we also did the testing of the analytical review. That's something we do every year. We take June 30th of 2014's financial statement. We compare it to whatever stage we're in right now to look to see if there's big changes in numbers. If there's changes in numbers, we investigate them. If they go too low, too high, either way, we make sure that we feel comfortable with the numbers that we see in your balance sheet, your revenue statement, and your budget status, which is your expenditure report. That's all the process we do before we even look at your numbers, because your books are not quite closed yet, which will be done in August. The final thing is, the financial statement that you're going to be seeing next fall will be bigger. Back in 2012, GASB passed what they called GASB 68. If you see your financial statement now, you'll see where you have the health insurance accrual, which is a huge number. Well, GASB 68 now takes you your pensions and does the same thing. Uh-oh. That means you're going to have another huge number in the front part of your financial statement that shows you have a deficit fund balance, which is a real big number. And also add about 10 pages to your footnotes, okay? Just so they feel that school districts are being transparent, you know, in these liabilities. The only thing is, they haven't come up how they're going to do it yet. We will be supposed to, by tomorrow, have some kind of plan in place of how they're going to, what footnotes they want, how they're going to determine the number that you're going to be shared with. A lot of school districts are waiting for that number to close their books, and they said they should have it by tomorrow. But just coming up, that's the only change you're going to see in your financial statement next year. Everything else stays the same. The biggest thing, what we're talking about, the pension thing, it's accounting, and it's not going to affect your funding. That will not change. That's strictly based on the rate that the state, you know, the retirement system select, and you pay on the salaries. The funding part, what you pay to them now, is only current. So you're not going to have an additional bill because they bring in the gap to 68. So people are going to say, oh boy, now we're going to have to pay more money because under this accounting, you're going to show that we might owe another $3-4 million. It's not going to, it's only going to be on paper in your financial statement. And that's basically an overview of what's going on right now.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ray. Any questions, Ray?
Any questions?
I actually do have a question.
Go ahead.
Obviously, the work that you do as an auditor is driven by GASB. There are certain recommendations on what you would do as part of your audit. I'm curious about especially the risk portion of it. Is any of that driven by mandates from the state or anything regulatory? Or
no, risk is totally us.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
But how do you drive, how do you know what risk elements or what risk you're looking for and what elements?
In the risk assessment?
Yeah.
Some of the things we just talked about, controls, procedures, okay? We make sure that you have those in place, basically what it is, so you don't have major mistakes or fraud. Mm-hmm. That's the major reason for a risk assessment. We have to feel comfortable with your controls that you have in place, procedures you got in place, check marks that you have in place that we feel comfortable when we're auditing that there's no, you know, potential fraud going on or potential misstatement of financial numbers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that, and see, you have an internal auditor and external. Internal auditor, see, we take the risk assessment versus financial. Internal takes risk, same thing like we do, but they do a procedural. They don't look at numbers, they look at the way
the controls,
are.
Yeah.
But we go beyond that. We go from there, what they do, right to the financial.
Okay. So sometime during the last school year, Dr. Manzano, we had the state come down and look through our records.
The state controller, yeah.
Okay.
That,
right.
That.
So would you have covered enough so that we've covered our bases? So would your audit encompass more than what they're looking at? So that
correct.
Because ours was clean, if I remember rightly.
But keep in mind that that was focused strictly on your surplus.
See,
you know, Ray's
No, but his audit presumably is all-encompassing, so he would have been looking at surplus as well. So if there was any... I'm just trying to understand where Ray's remit or coverage, just so that when somebody else comes poking their nose in, you know, we know we're clean because Ray's done a comprehensive job. And I know you do.
You know,
I'm just understanding what the guidelines are.
Well, to be honest with you, the controller's office has been here recently. Across the year, tax cut.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And they said that you were over because they didn't understand what you guys were doing. And it came out today that you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that's one of the things they do. And here again, one of the things that when we work with a school, we make sure these things are in line. Okay. So when we sign off at the end of the year, surpluses, you're talking about surpluses, reserves. We watch the law very, very close.
Gotcha.
We actually suggest where to possibly fund certain reserves in order that you stay at the 4% level.
Oh, right, that's what I remember.
And
yeah,
just
saying,
a point of clarification with regard to the most recent state controller review. That was a completely random process that they selected us, what you're doing throughout the state, just to basically take a closer look. And as Ray indicated, once again, a very clean report and great job by Gloria and Carlene and the staff.
Yeah, excellent.
Right. But see, we work for you. Okay, so if we see areas that and one of the things that we can't recommend, we can suggest, but like I cannot, we're very fine line now. Okay, because if I recommend, that almost puts me what they call into a managerial type, and that kind of throws me out as your external auditor.
Got it.
So
right.
What we do is we would work with your business office and make suggestions to them. They would bring them to you where you would make the final determination. We don't know what your final determination is until you approve them at the end. We can suggest you can have this area that you can put, you got funding, you can put money in here. Or whatever, and that's what we do. We make suggestions as we go along during our audit. So in August, before you set your tax levy, you would know if you were over the 4%, and then you would have to shift some of that money into reserves, so you don't get this, this cap issue, or because they're looking at that now. If you keep more than 4%,
gotcha. Okay.
So we do look at all that for you.
Excellent. Thanks, Rick.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Dr. Montesano. Workshop items.
We have just one workshop item. I provided some preliminary information from the board. This is a topic that we had discussed back in April. Back in April, it was coming directly through the athletic department. They were interested in offering student athletes an additional option through an agreement with Gatorade to be able to provide Prime Energy Chews, Recovery Whey protein bars, and Recovery protein shakes. Prior to the practices of kids after school or games. One of the issues or questions that came up for the district was whether or not that would cause us any violation of one proprietary consumer, meaning Pepsi-Cola. And that information was delivered back to the Red and Black, who really were the prime motivators, which is primarily your athletic parents. And they have since stepped forward, and what they would like to do is to, them being the signer of the agreement through Gatorade, they will I think there's like a $150 startup fee, they'll pay that fee, so there's no connection, if you will, directly to the school district or to the board.
The question before the board, and what I'd like to be able to do is give a response back to the Red and Black Club, is if this is a program that the board is okay with in terms of having it available. Basically, the program will run the same way. It's a small little refrigerator that Gatorade provides. They provide the products. You saw from that sheet that they're very underpriced in terms of what these products would cost if they went down to the local convenience store. Basically a dollar per bar. I think your parents, at least it's being represented to me through Mr. Sigillo, that your athletic parents and your coaches are finding your kids are typically coming back with you know, potato chips and, you know, candy when they before their practices. I'm sure some do find other products. This would not we would not restrict kids from going off campus if they decided they still wanted to get, you know, some other product or a parent wanted them to. Perhaps it may prevent, you know, some kids from getting in their car and leaving your campus because they can get something, you know, directly here after school. And it would still be sold through the athletic trainer's office, so we have some understanding of how successful the program is. But I do know Red and Black is interested in finding out if the board is okay with them making the next step and providing this program. So that's where we are.
Okay, comments?
I'll ask some questions because I know I keep asking comments. I keep asking about this.
Which is fine. That's
I know. I mean, you know, just to clarify, I've been expressing some concerns, not being a huge fan of it. Not that I feel like a Gatorade product here or there is terrible. You know, my kids are all athletes and feel like every once in a while we buy a Gatorade instead of a water, even though I feel like, you know, water is the best choice. So, you know, I guess my concerns have centered on the fact that if this is here, you know, this Gatorade cooler in the for kids to buy, are they going to be buying them every day? Are they really going to feel like this is a great healthy choice, grabbing these Gatorade products, which I know, you know, I've spoken to some nutritionists, and I know Gatorade products sort of used in, you know, at the right times when you're in the middle of a long practice or, you know, a long game, you know, they sort of do have their place. You know, the feedback that I've gotten from some nutritionists, and I know everyone's sort of got different views when you speak to nutritionists, is that, you know, probably the products that the nutritionists that I've spoken to feel most comfortable with are the recovery shakes and the recovery bars versus the drinks and the chews. Although even those could have their place, you know, you're in the middle of a heated basketball game and maybe you pop in a chew, it's not the worst thing. So, you know, with all that said, I guess one question that I would have, which maybe has been answered, is do we think there'll be any sort of, I don't know if restrictions is the right word, but sort of overseeing, like they're priced so well. Like, is a kid going to come in and say, oh my gosh, for $3, I could buy a Gatorade drink, Gatorade chews, and a recovery shake, and feel like this is really making a good, healthy decision? Because it's accessible.
The way to look at it is you got to look at it from the starting point, mm-hmm. you know, and in the eyes of your athletic department, that your kids, and I don't have a quantifiable number, but the choices your kids are making currently, they're coming back with bags of potato chips before the practices. And this is a way to encourage them to have, and no one is mm-hmm. saying this is the ideal product. And, you know, of all the people on your staff, Wes is probably in the best position in terms of what's the healthiest option for kids. And certainly if we see kids, you know, carbo loading, you know, on a product, we'll get in touch with their parents about that, with regard to that. But I think it's really just to give the kids a different choice. And I think that basically the bottom line is, I think collectively, your athletic department and your Red and Black Club feel that protein shakes and these whey bars and et cetera are preferred choices over the choices that the majority of your kids are taking.
Yeah.
As a parent, if mm-hmm. you feel that you don't think that is a healthy choice, send a note in to, you know, to Wes. I don't want my child, you know, making a purchase here. And you want your child going down the street, that if your child will, you know, make that choice on their behalf or stuff an apple in their you know.
Right. No, I hear what you're saying. Like, I know that, you know, trust me, I'm asking the questions and trying to think of, you know,
the questions that would maybe make this me feel as comfortable with it, because I hear that the athletic department is really supportive of this and the Red and Black Club, and I certainly respect those decisions. But one, you can't tell your high, you're not going to send a, no parent's going to send a letter to the, I mean, I shouldn't say no parent, but it's not very common that you're going to say in high school, don't let my kid buy a Gatorade patch. You just don't do that when your kids are in high school. You can, but I hear what you're saying. Like, I guess my specific question is, I wonder if we really will have some limitations in place. Maybe we will. I mean, I think
like one per customer, or like what do you suggest? I really don't.
Yeah, like some sort of some sort of guidance on if these things are now so affordably priced at $1 a piece, it's such a good deal. It's such a great.
Yeah, but Jen, sorry, yeah. If I could just interject. Yeah. I think the key here is what Dr. Montesano mentioned, which is where's your starting point. Right now, there's no limitation. Money does not seem to be an object. In these kids going out and buying totally unhealthy stuff. So I see this, I personally see this as a step in the right direction. There was also a comment that came back to me that a lot of the kids who are participating are kids, economically disadvantaged kids, who have no option to buy anything and then have lunch at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
They'll go to practice, they'll work out, and there's nothing till they get home for dinner. This is, for them, a healthy first-stop option. So I think we need to think about that and who we're servicing and what we're preventing as a first step. Are there better options? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But right now, understand there's no... Hang on, Dr. Munster. Just remember right now that there are no limitations on kids going out. We at least have some level of oversight now where... And it's because of this concern for these kids that this is being introduced. So I've got to believe that if there's, you know, gouging on some wrong product,
listen, I totally hear what you're saying. I don't mean to sound like a crazy person on this. I really do hear what you're saying. I fear it more sometimes for that group because, right, like, you know what? Sometimes as a parent, maybe I don't work full-time, I'm around. If I know Justin's going to be there playing the game, I might be the nice parent and go buy him a bagel with cream cheese or, you know, run up to the school and drop something off because I have the ability to do so. And I don't always have the ability to do so, trust me. Sometimes he's walking to the convenience store himself, and I feel privileged to have that opportunity to sometimes run my kid up a healthy snack. You know, and I don't mean to keep repeating myself, but I just worry that then it will sort of be this will seem to be the sort of skew how our kids think about what real healthy eating is, you know. So I know we only have so many options, so maybe it's silly to keep sort of beating.
But you recognize your cafeteria sells food as well, and it, you know, are you looking for the same controls in your high school cafeteria that serves all your kids?
I'm just saying it's so convenient for kids now, and Gatorade is making them so cheap that you are going to walk in there and feel like you're getting such a good deal that I think there's a concern that we're going to overbuy.
We can certainly look to monitor that if we see some habits of kids. Personally, would I be more concerned if a kid's going in and buying 10? Are they selling them to the kids in the morning for $1.50?
Yeah, that's a good concern.
That's what goes through my head.
Yeah.
But we can certainly, look, you have an athletic trainer who I think everybody recognizes is really out for kids. And I think we should put the trust in him that if we see some abnormal behaviors. It's also true that if a kid's buying 5, he may be buying, you know, 1 for himself and 4 for his buddies. I mean, it's
absolutely
hard to really kind of control that.
Yes.
Understand right now, as Karen indicated, and I think this is where your parent community is coming from that are looking to try to at least give this as an option. There's no controls right now for kids. They're just, you know, and they're leaving your campus, which is not always the safest thing. It's just an option. And whether this is even going to be successful, it may be that kids don't particularly like the flavor of these
That's
things and
true.
Don't want any of them. So, I think it may be worth just letting this thing, let's see, you have a season in front of you. We can always re-examine it at the end of the fall season to see if it's, you know, if it's working for the kids and for us and so forth.
All right, I'll stop.
Don Copeland.
Yeah, this is, I guess, a somewhat connected kind of question, but it's maybe it's already been answered. But do we as a public government institution have any limitations or regulations that limit us to what we can do with private enterprise, like with private corporations, like sponsorships? Is there any limitation to it, or is it really up to us about when you have having a Coke machine in your school, whatever? I mean, what are the... Where does it start and where does it stop?
Yeah.
I'm just curious about that.
So commercialism in the schools is generally prohibited.
So there are certain exceptions, like you can have a pouring rights contract. The Commissioner of Education and the State Education Department has made certain findings in terms of pouring rights that allows a school district to designate a particular company as having exclusive pouring rights within that school district, and they've indicated that that's not commercialism in the schools and that that's allowed. You're not allowed to sell advertising on your school buses or
but you can have vending machines.
Use of school facilities. Yes, you can have vending machines. What you're looking at is what's being done something that is more in the nature of an advertisement and commercial in nature versus something that is maybe a recognition of a donation that's small and nominal. So you're looking at the size of any kind of size of any kind of sign or things of that nature to determine whether or not it's commercial in nature. One thing by getting the Red and Black Club or a booster organization involved is that booster organization is allowed to do certain things in terms of supporting your school district, and by doing that, they then use the proceeds that they obtain for educational or charitable purposes, which is allowable under use of school facilities.
So this is no issue that legally.
If we do it in this certain way, I think that I'd like to see the contract in terms of what Gatorade is looking to do. I'd like to get a better understanding in terms of are they looking for some kind of quid pro quo in terms of advertising or things in terms of.
So like if the airplane starts flowing over the high school with the Gatorade sign behind it, that might be over the top.
Passing out of the snacks, I felt like may have been a conflict. I mean, they passed out free Gatorade snacks on school property, and that. I don't know if that.
They were giving samples out to see if the kids liked them, to see if you wanted to.
But anyway, you would look at the contract and see if it fit.
Yeah, so I look at those things. I get an understanding as to how the Red and Black Club intends to staff this, how this is going to be done, just to get a better understanding of that. But for example, there are fundraising events that are held by your booster organizations, by your extracurricular, your co-curricular clubs. Some of those involve sale of foods. I'm sure there's other things like car washes and things that are done. So all of that happens when the proceeds are used by the sponsoring organization or sponsoring club. Whatever money is made on it is then used for charitable or educational purposes. That's okay. So, again, I'll work with Jim. We'll look at the business office.
Okay.
We'll look at all of the details to make sure that we're comfortable with how that would be done.
Thanks, sir. Leanne Irvin.
I think that with respect to the concerns over the product, I think that we have an athletic department that cares very deeply about their kids, their student athletes, and obviously their health. And I think that they are in the best position to be able to assess whether this is working or not. They've obviously expressed a concern about the alternatives that kids aren't eating right now, and they view this to be a better solution. And I'm certain that if somebody is loading up on gallons of Gatorade and gaining 30 pounds, something will be done by the athletic directors. I think that it's ultimately a family's responsibility to teach their own children their nutritional values. I mean, I do sometimes yell at my kids because they grab Gatorade. But I think that the best arbiters of this are probably the people who are suggesting the program in the first place. And I think we can defer to their knowledge and expertise that this is a better alternative than what they're seeing. And certainly, I think, you know, we can give them the opportunity to do it, spend some time and see if it's working for them. Because I do agree, I think if they're taking them and selling them and doing what you're suggesting, you're running a little side business over there with the athletic department's materials, it's probably not a good idea, but I think we should let it go and see how it works out.
I think we all agree too that to Jen's point that we can't do enough with kids with regard to making healthy choices and being knowledgeable with nutrition. I mean, we all recognize the obesity rates in this country are on the upscale in terms of what's happening, and we do have school health programs and we have a wellness policy, but that's really has to continue to be a focal point and figure out ways to ensure that kids can make good decisions across all ways of life, but certainly with regard to food choices. So.
Michael Mark?
So, just Ralph, in summary, it's okay, it looks like it's okay to have a Gatorade cooler in the on school grounds that says Gatorade, maybe, but not to have banners in the hallways that say, get your Gatorade products before the practice this afternoon. You know, that kind of stuff we don't want to have.
And yes, that's an example that I would want to have an understanding of what Gatorade's expectations are,
right.
So that we know what we're getting into with it.
And is there anything that stops us from if there's some willing nutritionist and the athletic department wants to go that yard, from having a thing on the side of the Gatorade thing that says, this is what you get out of the Gatorade, this is what you get out of an apple and some granola that doesn't have added sugar in it, and maybe it'll make you run a little bit faster, or something like that. You know, just as long as we're talking about giving them better choices, sure, than what they're currently getting now, perhaps there are also other better choices that we can suggest besides the Gatorade.
Those would be good projects in the health and nutrition classes that already exist for kids to work on, yeah. Projects that are put up in school just about healthy eating. I mean, there's a lot of ways to...
A lot of those being done.
I'm sure.
You know, just, it doesn't necessarily have to stop at the Gatorade being the better choice.
All right, do we agree that we can give the go-ahead to the Red and Black Club? Jen, are you okay with that?
Yeah, if we were voting, I might abstain, but no, that's fine. It's obviously a majority, yeah, and I appreciate their efforts. Okay, and
no, I appreciate your points. Yeah. Okay, good. Do we have any other... thank you. I think we're done with workshop items. Thank you, Dr. Manzano. Any citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns? I know we have some gentlemen in the audience. Thank you.
Good evening.
Could you state your name for the podcast, please, sir?
Good evening. I know most of you at the table.
Could you give us your name for the podcast? Your name?
My name is Vic Chukowski. I'm a Valley Cottage resident for 45 years. This is my first board meeting since 2008, when I finished serving 15 years as a school board member.
And welcome back.
I have 5 grandchildren in the district. The oldest 2 graduated with honors, and doing about the same in college. I have 1 entering senior year in September. I have another 1 entering as a freshman in September. And then there's a gap. I have an 8-year-old. Incidentally, that's my youngest daughter and her husband, who have 5 children. And both of them were graduates of NIAC. I just have 2 very brief questions regarding action item 5.12.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
What is the total amount that the Community Tower Group is donating tonight? That's question number 1. And question number 2, is there an estimate of the total cost of that project?
Sure. The resolution the board is adopting is pretty general in terms of they're simply tonight accepting an intent that if this fundraising group is able to raise the funds necessary to build the structure, the board will intend to accept it. There is also tonight's action also requires from that organization I think it's a $6,500 monetary donation to the district. That's primarily to assist with the fees for architectural concerns, with looking at the designs, getting all the submittals to the state, which I'm sure you're familiar with all those things back when you were on the board. But that's basically it. Right now, all that we have seen from this organization are some preliminary drawings and renderings. The board's architectural firm has met with this group's architectural firm to look at the overall structure. I don't remember the exact figure or what the target that they're looking for to build the type of structure that this group intends to build, but I believe it was in the vicinity of $1 million, in some place in that range. It was a pretty significant amount of dollars.
And
What is the sum that's being donated tonight?
It's the resolution for tonight, I believe it's $6,500, $6,500.
The other items that are itemized in the resolution are not being put forward tonight?
All the resolution is stating is that the resolution states that this Board of Education intends to accept the donation of this structure from this organization, and there are some contingencies. If it can be, if they can raise the funds in a timely way so it does not disrupt the board's intention to have these fields available for the kids, and that's really incumbent upon this organization to be able to raise their funds in a timely fashion. So that's really all the motion does, is simply to accept the donation when it arrives, but there is no monetary amount dedicated to it. It's incumbent upon this organization to be able to raise the funds necessary to build the structure itself. So the cost of that project is really incumbent upon this organization to come up with the dollars that they feel is going to be necessary to build the structure that needs to be designed.
Looking at the detail from the board's agenda, there's approximately $12,000-$13,000 that is not being donated tonight, if I understand you.
I don't have any knowledge, I don't think this board, in terms of how much fundraising has been done by that group up to this point. I don't have any access to their their finances.
So they're not donating all the amounts of money that are in tonight's action item.
The action item is a requirement to by this group, or accept from this group, $6,500. That's the total amount of dollars involved in this action.
Nothing else.
Nothing else. And an intent to accept the structure when and if it's built.
Because there are other numbers in the resolution in detail.
$6,500 is what we're expecting now.
Yeah. So can I just read what's in the resolution? Maybe make sure we're looking at the same thing, right? With regards to the money, what it says is that the board's acceptance of such donation pledge is contingent on an initial donation from the group in the sum of $6,500, so the district's architects can perform a peer review, $5,500, and cost estimate of the proposed structure, $1,000, as well as subsequent donations to cover the bidding phase, $2,500, SED paperwork submission, $2,500, and construction administration, 4% of construction costs. So it's a bit more than $6,500.
Well, that's the amount you're accepting for tonight. That's money to come at a
subsequent time. Okay, good.
They're pledging to the board.
Okay, that's what's written here. Is that what you saw?
Okay. So you're not actually receiving $6,500 tonight or any amount of money. Is that correct?
The board will be accepting from this group $6,500 from this organization that will, and I don't know the timing of when it's going to be delivered to the Board of Education, but it's part of this overall resolution that this group is pledging to provide that money, because there's a lot of preliminary work that has to be done architecturally, and that's what that money is going to carry, that first amount of dollars. Those additional dollars that President Yu just mentioned will be some future costs this board will incur as a result of this project with regard to the bidding process, the advertising of the bids, and so forth. So the resolution puts them on notice that this board will be in agreement with the donation and the intended pledge of the monies eventually. But it lets us know that there are benchmarks, meaning that the board is going to need this money in advance over these next couple of coming months, so that when the board incurs those costs with architectural fees, for eventual bidding process, which probably will not take place, I would guess, until around March of next year, probably sometimes that frame, that the organization will be providing those monies. So it's an agreement by them that they were going to be providing us the board with those dollars, an agreement by the board to say that there will be an acceptance of those dollars.
Okay. So the high school athletic project is scheduled to be done in 2016, right?
There's a number of phases. I assume you're talking about the athletic program, the athletic fields?
Well, the area that this tower concession stand would go in would be at the football field, which, according to your time schedule, is scheduled for 2016.
That's correct.
Right?
Right.
So they're going to have all this money in 2016?
Well, that's their intention. And there is ongoing discussions with regard to, as you know, this is a structure that's going to go basically where the field press box would be. And part of the concerns that we have from our side, it's possible that the field can be done in 2016 and that structure may not necessarily have to be ready to be put during as part of the overall project. It might come at a later date. And that's part of what is being reviewed by our architects, meaning would, let's say they don't have the money in the summer of 2016 and they think they need another year. Is it possible for us to be able to have a facility ready, open, so the kids could, you know, play their games and things, and at a later date be able to add that on to the field? And I know our architects have raised some concerns about that. Those questions have not been answered. But it's our desire to have this done in one unified project in summer of 2016.
The co-chair of that group, Danny Berkowitz, did a presentation to the Monday morning quarterbacks. And at that time, he was talking of a total cost in excess of $1 million. I find it hard to believe in these times that any group, including the quarterbacks who have been in existence since 1955, can raise $1 million plus. So what happens then?
But that's why part of this resolution reads that it needs to be delivered, meaning the board will only accept this if it's donated in a timely fashion, meaning we do not want this, while I know the board applauds the efforts of Dan and others, but if they're not able to deliver us with those funds, we will have a contingency plan to have a press box there, and you know the field will be in place.
Thank you for your time. Just as a side comment, some of you we could hear speak in the third row back here. Others at the table, we couldn't hear one word that they said. Looking at all these wires and electronic equipment that you have at the table, would you please put something back here? A couple of speakers back here.
That's a good point.
Good point. Thank you.
Would be nice so that we can hear. I don't want to point out individuals that we could hear or couldn't hear.
Tell us so we know, right? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, well, the public would like to hear what's going on, and we would appreciate it. Thank you all for your time, and good luck in a new school year.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Much appreciated. Thank you. Okay. Are there any other citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns on the action items? Okay. Do we have a motion to accept action items 4.1 through 4.10? Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, Vic.
Motion carries. Do we have a motion to accept business action items 5.1 through 5.3 and 5.5 through 5.13?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Do we have a motion to accept items 5.4, Second Amendment to Lease Agreement at Rider between NIAC and Rockland BOCES?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained?
Right here.
Discussion? For the record, please note that Trustee Michael Mark abstains from item 5.4. Motion carries. Dr. Montesano, personnel?
Yes.
It doesn't have a number on mine. Okay. Do we have a motion to accept item 5.14, budget transfer report?
Motion.
Thank you.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Abstained? Discussion? Motion carries. Thank you, Neil. Dr. Montesano, personnel.
Yes, under personnel, obviously we introduced a number of or two of our appointees already this evening. As you can see, there's a number of positions that we have are recommending to be filled. Their various positions are listed across the agenda, along with our coaches and extracurricular activity folks. I do want to take a moment. You'll see item 6.27 regarding Mike Smith's resignation, both from the band director and there's another one on there, 6.27.
6.4.
Thank you, 6.4 as a music teacher. I just want to take a moment to thank Mr. Smith for his enthusiastic time that he spent in our district and has certainly made a lasting impact. Anyone that has ever been to any of our football games on a Friday evening, and we wish him the very best in his new position at East Ramapo. Thank you.
Dr. Montesano, quick question. 6.4 is effective 8-8. Why is that different to his other resignation effective today? Shouldn't that also be 7.14?
Yeah, that should be. Make that 7-14-15. Make it for tonight.
Okay. Okay. So do we have a motion to accept items 6.1 through 6.4, 6.8 through 6.11, and 6.13 to 6.33?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, sorry. Discussion? Sorry. It's late.
It's late.
Michael Smith, we're sorry to see him go, but I'm very happy for Michael Humphrey.
Yes.
It's going to be a great opportunity for him.
Yes, indeed. Exciting times. Any other comments?
No.
Okay.
No.
Motion carries. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Congratulations to all of our new officers.
We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
And our new board members.